B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour with Christopher Gasper, 4:02 in the afternoon. Chris comes to you from the Boston Globe and is brought to you by Mass General Hospital. He joins us from our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, how's you doing?
Gasparino.
How are you, baby?
I'm good. 2019's good so far.
All right. Well, not enough time has elapsed for something to really go wrong yet, so maybe that's maybe I understand
exactly
that.
Exactly right. We're talking 3 days for crying out loud.
I want your temperature on your football team, on your quarterback, on that whole situation. What's your confidence level in the Patriots right now?
My confidence level in the Patriots, I think, you know, as long as they're at home, it's pretty good. I think they have as good a shot as anybody else. I've said this before to you guys. Look, is this a vintage Patriots team? No. They're below their own standard, but they don't have to reach their standard this year. They only have to reach the standard of the AFC, which I think is more than attainable for them. So, you know, let's see what the matchups are. I think the Chargers could be tough, you know, even though that's a team that could give it away at the end. To me, like, the Chargers, if they weren't the Chargers, would be the clear favorite. They shouldn't even be the 5 seed. They'd be the 1 seed. You know, they blew a game at home to Denver that they had no business losing. It was classic clock management, malfunction on the part of the Chargers and Phillip Rivers. That Baltimore game, I think they got caught by surprise by Lamar Jackson. But the talent, like, you look at the talent, just overall, I think they're the most talented team in the AFC, and it's not really that close. But because they're the Chargers, they're the 5 seed, and you just kind of wait for them to make that killer mistake. You wait for that self-inflicted wound.
Okay. So can I bust balls here for 1 second?
Please do, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, because I've heard a lot of people say this now, and I admit, I'm nitpicking, Chris.
Go ahead.
When you say the chances are as good for the Patriots as anybody else.
Yeah.
So if they play at Kansas City, that's 50-50?
Well, Kansas City's a depleted team. I mean, you know, look.
At home?
Would I pick Kansas City in that game? Yeah, maybe it's 60-40, Maz, but they've had a ton of injuries. There's no more Kareem Hunt. Sammy Watkins still isn't back at this point. Kendall Fuller just had surgery on his thumb. He's their best corner. They've had a terrible secondary. They've given up a million points. So Kansas City at home, that would be a challenge for the Patriots. There's no question about it. And a lot of that has to do with the way the Patriots have played on the road. But, you know, Kansas City's banged up a little bit. They kind of limped to the number one seed.
Yeah, if the Patriots were the number one seed, I would agree with you. But they're not, and they can't win on the road. They couldn't beat Detroit on the road, Tennessee on the road.
No, fair point. So, they play well on the road.
Miami, like, you know, I look at that. So that just that one little thing is bugging the crap out of me.
No, it's fair. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
I've heard a lot of people say it. And it's like, no, their chances aren't as good as everyone else. Kansas City's the number one seed if they win, they're at home for the
AFC. So you think Kansas City's the clear favorite then?
No.
They should win it.
No, because I agree with a lot of what you said. Kansas City's diminished, but they're home. If they win, they will be home in the AFC Championship.
But I think so when I say the chances are as good as anybody else, I'm saying relative to the field. Now, if we start getting into specific matchups, then like Kansas City's not a great matchup for the Patriots, but is Houston a great matchup for them? Yeah. Houston's a great matchup for them. So there are individual matchups in there, but against the overall sort of field, I think their chances are as good as any. Like, I think there's as good a chance that Kansas City gets knocked out in the divisional round as they do host the AFC Championship game.
So, I mean,
I absolutely feel that way.
I mean, I agree with all that. I'm just, my point is, that's a pretty big come down from where we usually are.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's the Patriots tournament and everyone else, you know, is coming up from the rear on them. And it's like, no, now they're just in the same bin with everybody else. And that's different.
It is different. And that's a valid point. That's a valid point. I don't dispute that at all. I just think that sometimes we conflate that point with their chances of getting to the Super Bowl this year. And I think those are two different things. They're not up to their own standard. The margin for error is smaller than it's been, at least since 2013, in my mind. But the reality is that all that being said, they still have a pretty good chance relative to the field.
Your thoughts on Brady and the offense, and did he solve anything against the Jets? Did that game tell
you
anything?
No, that didn't tell you anything. No. And I had that conversation on Patriots preview with Mark Bertrand on Sunday, because he was saying, well, you want to see this? You want to see that? I'm like, the Jets, those guys race to the locker. I've never seen a team race to the locker room at halftime as fast as they did. It was their best executed play of the day.
Oh.
the way they sprinted to that locker room.
But, Chris, considering, like, I don't know, how confident he looked in the pocket compared...
They didn't have their two starting corners. Who were the two scrubs?
Speaking to the prior couple of weeks where he looked awful and he's, you know, falling to the left and he's trying to avoid contact, I thought it was a better performance.
I mean, look, I guess I would have ripped them if against those scrubs they didn't do anything. The passing game was better. He was comfortable in the pocket. That was good. But can you name those corners that the Jets threw out there? I mean, you watch more football than anybody I know. No, who were those guys?
I don't know.
I mean, they didn't have either of their starting corners. I mean, the only cornerback they had whose name I knew was Buster Screen. Neville Chamberlain, Neville Hewitt, whatever his name was.
Who
got dusted by James White. That guy's a special team scrub. Manish Mehta told me that. He's like, I don't know what this guy's doing out on the field.
You have to take it with a grain of salt. Because it's the because it's the Jets. But I just thought...
I've secured this touchdown for James White in our lifetime.
Compared to how he looked against Pittsburgh in that second half of Miami, he looked better. So I thought.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Bedard said he looked at the film and said that wasn't the case, so he's with you.
Yeah, I think it had more to do with who they were playing and what that team had to play for, than their actual execution.
So what was the stat you just said to me before we came on?
Oh, I was saying, so I looked this up sort of in preparation for the show. It was interesting just looking up some end-of-year stuff. So the Patriots finished ranked fifth in the NFL in rushing yards. And the passing attack was eighth in the NFL.
Think of that. Their rushing attack finished higher than their passing attack. Again, by the raw yards, which is what the NFL uses.
Which is raw yards. And they've had years where they average more rushing yards per game. But as far as I can find, finishing fifth is the highest they finished in the Belichick era, in the league rankings in yards per game.
Hold on. In 2004, they weren't higher than...
No, they weren't.
Wow.
They were not in 2004. No.
Wow.
They were not higher in 2004.
Okay, so either way.
So the last three times they've done this where the rushing attack has been ranked higher or equal to... The passing attack were 2013, 2010, and 2006.
Ooh, that's bad.
So let's repeat this because, again, this is a good stat, which I love Sosie's, what he said earlier. Are you using the stat to illuminate or to support? I.e., do you really want to learn something with the stat or you just want to use the numbers to suit your agenda? Ours is definitely the second thing. There's no question. We're not looking to illuminate Jack. We want to serve an agenda. So here's what this stat does. Again, the last three times they have finished higher or equal to the passing game and the running game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, in yards per game.
Okay.
In the rankings, not the yards, but the rankings in the NFL.
Where they in the years they rank higher rushing than passing were 13, 10, and 6.
Yeah.
And they didn't make the Super Bowl any of those years.
No, they did not. In fact,
they lost in the division round 2 out of 3.
And one thing I'd say all those years have in common.
No, 13.
Just one.
No, just one. 13, they made the AFC title 13, game.
They lost in Denver.
Oh, 6.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got 6 mixed up with 5.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay.
But I was going to say, the one thing that, to me, all those years have in common, question marks at wide receiver, right? So 2013, he had the young, it was Amendola's first year, no Welker, the young guys that were out there, Aaron Dobson, Kembrell Tompkins, Josh Boyce, right? 10, they have to get rid of Moss. They bring in your guy, Deion Branch, in the middle of the year. All year long, we're talking about taking the top off the defense. Can they do that? It was also Welker's first year back from the ACL. 06, Rishay Caldwell, Jabbar Gaffney, Doug Gabriel, that group. So I think when you look at how well they've run the ball the last, you know, couple of weeks really here and what those rankings say, I guess my overall point on this would be I don't think that that speaks to the idea that they can go into the playoffs and say our identity is a run team. We're going to ram it down your throat and that will be how we get to the Super Bowl, because I think it's more reflective of what they're lacking in the passing game than what they have in the running game, which I like. But I think it's, again, when they're at their best, they're throwing it. It's death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Overall, I would just quibble with lumping in 2010 as being the same as 2010. They were 14-2 and they had a very good offense by the end of the year. I think they choked. I think that was a little young. You know, that was Gronk's rookie year, right?
Yep.
And Gronk and Hernandez were rookies. They weren't quite ready. They're still cycling out of that 2009 thing, and they just sort of gagged against the Jets. 2006 and 2013, they weren't. You know, you could see all year it wasn't working.
Yeah, I mean, Brady obviously won the MVP in 10, but
he won the MVP in 10. Yeah, right, there you go. Did. So,
but there were still these sort of, like, without Moss, these questions of, like, okay, Brady's having a great year and welcome, but, you know, how great is this receiving core really?
I'm not going to argue about the Randy Moss year.
Okay.
Because you'll read me down an agenda-driven path.
No, I want to talk about 2004 so badly. I do.
Why?
No, I mean, you never mentioned the fact they weren't even the number one seed that year. You never mentioned that.
Yeah, but so what?
Well, I think that matters. You're saying this is, like, the greatest Patriots team ever. They weren't even the number one seed.
They were 14-2, and the second loss was a true giveaway in Miami. Was one of those, we don't even care. That was, Chris, So wait a minute. You want to argue 07 versus 04?
Of course he does. He wants the banner.
I do. I'll argue that all day. Yeah.
Let's do that.
We'll do that on our own time.
Yeah, exactly. Because I will argue that all day.
I know you will. So
will I. It's not even close. All right. So you don't have a tremendous amount of faith in Brady in the passing game.
No, I don't. Okay. I mean, I have faith in Brady always, of course. But I mean, just what they've surrounded him with. You know, it's. I think it's an uphill battle in the passing game. I really do.
So you don't think he's been a
defense.
Part of it?
I mean, somewhat, but...
Oh, God, come on.
I mean, no, has he spun out of throws? Absolutely. But you know what? I was just thinking about this today because I knew you'd say this to me, and I was like, you know what? I'm trying to think of Tom Brady's two best throws this year. I'm like, I think one was last week against the Jets. Who'd he throw that to?
Burkhead? Dorsett.
Philip Dorsett.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, and that throw he had in Miami, who'd he throw that to?
Cordell Patterson. Cordell.
So those are his two best throws of the year. So who's on the other end of those? Two stiffs.
I don't agree with any of that. I mean, I would go back and look at all his throws. I thought the dime he threw to Burkhead was a better throw than the Dorsett thing.
Dorsett throw,
he was on the run. That's a harder throw for him.
Okay, I mean...
That was a great throw in the back of the end zone.
Good movement, but I don't know.
Burkhead dusted a linebacker. That's what they want.
But I don't understand what the receiver has to do with his throw. Like, I don't get it.
Well, I'm just saying, if you think about his two best throws of the year, who's he throwing to? Like, in past years, we'd say, okay, you know, this throw was to, you know, Brandon Cooks or Wes Welker or Julian. They had more guys. You're making a throw to Philip Dorsett and Cordell Patterson. That's what you have to work with. You have to make those throws to make those plays, and you have to do it all the time.
Have you read or listened to Bedard's stuff about how Brady looks?
I agree with the spinning out of throws. He's absolutely done that.
How about not seeing open guys?
Yeah, I feel like that comes up every year, and it's great. Whoever's looking at the All-22 can go back and look at it after the fact and say, geez, you know, that guy was open. And maybe, you know, look, Bedard looks at it closer than I do. So maybe there's more of that this year and past years. But I can tell you, I could go back to 2010 and 2011 and find you stories where somebody said, well, this guy was open on this one. In fact, when I read this stuff all the time, I feel like Chris Hogan's open on every play. Okay, that's great. You're open. But what read are you? Are you the fourth or fifth read on the play? Like, that's why he's not throwing it there, because you need time to get to that read, okay. Don't you?
So how much of the passing game is on Brady? Just give me a percent. I just want to see where you
percentage
are. Percentage? Yep.
Of the passing game? 15%.
15. 1-5. Even though he's had Edelman and Gronkowski all year. And he's
is Gronkowski the same guy?
Hogan and Dorsett pretty
I
much
I thought you guys
year.
Were on the Gronkowski no separation.
Well, he's not the same guy, but he's had him. 15.
He's not the same guy, but he still has the name. Yeah, exactly. What does that mean?
It just means it's not like, I mean, he still has Rob Gronkowski.
No, he doesn't have Rob Gronkowski. He doesn't have Gronk. He has Robert Gronkowski.
Yeah,
Robert James Gronkowski.
Another tight end in the league.
Yeah.
Okay, 15%. I would say his percentage is a little higher. I want your reaction to one more Brady thing. John Kraft on yesterday with Beadle and Zoe announcing the Patriots' long extension here with 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's great. But then is Brady getting one too?
Now that 98.5 The Sports Hub has received a long-term contract extension, I believe it's only natural to think Tom Brady is next, right?
Tom Brady, I'm only hesitating because there aren't adjectives to describe how exceptional he is.
Of course.
And anybody who doubts that is, you know, doesn't understand things. Tom's under contract for next year, and I think hopefully people have seen that, you know, there's a real understanding between all of us about how that situation is going to work into the future.
Okay, so just stop it there. There's a real understanding between all of us how that's going to work out into the future. What do you think he means by that?
I think they're going to take it year to year. I think one reason Jonathan might, this is just my guess, I don't know, hesitated there, is that if he says we're doing that, isn't that once again undercutting Belichick? And aren't we right back where we were during the offseason?
Yes.
I think there's been a concerted, intensive effort on all sides, particularly the Krafts and Brady, not to make Belichick look bad, not to put him in any situations where it makes it appear that his authority has been usurped in any way, shape, or form when it comes to shaping the roster.
I
think that's what that is.
And I think that's a good sign, Maz. Now, Maz immediately goes, well, they still don't, or I say, they're at least on the same page where they're not undercutting each other. They're trying to work with each other, and this is where I think that they are. I do think Belichick's been usurped. I do think it's Brady and Kraft, but they want to make nice with Bill, and so they're playing a publicity game, potentially, and so I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, listen, I had not considered that part of it, that it's related to Bill. I'm just saying the more I listen to that answer, Boy, the silence is deafening. Wow. Jonathan's going to sit there for that long a period of time and go, I think anyone who knows Tom, like, whoa. I hear that and I go, boy, is he treading carefully there. I'm not convinced that they're in total agreement on what it's going to be going forward. I'm not convinced of that. I think Brady's back next year. I do.
What do you think, Chris? What do you think the future is?
With Brady?
Yep.
I mean, I've said this before. I mean, I think he's going to have a monster year next year. I think that a lot of this stuff that happened during this offseason where he stayed away and Gronkowski stayed away, I think when you're 41 years old, it's harder to miss some of this offseason time. You were
really?
Right. You were right. No, really? You were right. I was wrong. Oh. I didn't think it would matter that much, but it does.
You mean when you put in less work, you get less out of it?
I think at this age, yeah.
Whoever could have thought that?
So I think he'll be, I don't want to say rededicated, but I think, you know, sort of pledge allegiance to the Patriots way again, and he'll be there for all that OTA stuff. This is just my guess. I have no idea. I mean, he might skip out the same way he did last time. You know, obviously he feels, you know, the tug of familial responsibilities. That's not going away. But I have a feeling, like, especially if they don't win it this year, it's going to leave a real bad taste in his mouth.
Okay.
And
so,
I think that he'll be out to prove everybody wrong, and he'll do whatever it takes next year.
Okay. So, but not just that. You think he's, how many years do you think he has left? And they're all on the same page contractually.
I think he'll play here until he's 43, and then it's up to him. Does he want to keep going or no? I think he can play at the level he's playing at now or better until he's 43. So two more years. And then after that, the question is, what's the team around you?
I agree with
you. You have to weigh. I think he has to weigh. I think that's part of this, too.
He can play better.
I'm not sure he wants an extension that's really long at this point. That commitment. He might want to sort of go year to year, because if you're 44 or 45 and this is the team you have around you and you have to carry it all on your back, like, and you know that maybe you're not really capable of doing that the same way you used to, do you want to do that or you want to go spend time with your family? What's the difference between 43 and 45? Like, you made your point,
man. I agree.
Like, you got it.
Well, no, but
at that point.
But in terms of his level of play, I agree. I think he can be better. I think he should be better. I think he will be better.
I think he's going to be MVP next year. He's going to light it up.
So, but I mean, that's, you know, that's cool. But to me, what the Jonathan Kraft thing is that they've all come together. The Palace queue is over. And have they all turned the page on that, Chris, you think?
I think so, as far as I know. I mean, look, there's probably always something bubbling beneath the surface. But the most unique thing to me, or interesting thing about that whole thing last offseason, was it wasn't beneath the surface. It all bubbled up, starting with the Wickersham story. You know, it became public. It was obvious. It was obvious. I mean, to anybody, you know, with a set of eyes, what was going on there. And they're so good at keeping things in-house, and it got out of control. And I think they're determined to make sure that doesn't happen again. So even if there's still, you know, some nitpicking behind the scenes, I think that publicly, at least, they're going to have a united front.
Okay, Patriots passing game down from where it's been in the past. Gasper says that's only 15-1-5, the fault of 15%, the fault of Tom Brady.
I should have gone with 12.
Who will win the MVP next year.
Yes.
So I don't know. You could see Chris's approaches from a certain side of the argument. But either way, your thoughts on it, I promise, right to you after this.
Tugger Nass, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bedard's breakdown, : as regular season concludes, Tom Brady still not near his MVP level. Looks like someone took a look at the film against the Jets and said, well, and said what, Greg?
He was not up to the level that they need him at. He's still leaving a ton of yards and a ton of plays on the field because he's just not. Comparing him to last year, but going through his whole career, he almost always makes the right decisions in terms of where to go with the ball. Answers to the test, all that stuff. It hasn't been happening this season. Every game, there are 4, 5, 6 decisions that you're just like, why did he do that? Why didn't he do this other thing? Where in years past, you could maybe get 1, 2 a game, maybe. It's like you're talking about a dozen during an entire season. Now it's every game, and now it's, you include this game. Now going back to the Rob Gronkowski touchdown against the Dolphins, he just hasn't played that well.
All right, that's Bedard. Gasper disagrees. We'll mix in your thoughts. Paul in Needham. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, man. Bedard just basically said everything I wanted to say. In the town, we've got Brady on such a pedestal. I've never seen him throw more balls behind somebody. I've never seen his mental acuity been lower. This whole issue of him not checking off, He lost trust in Hogan basically in the first three games, never went back to him. Nobody told Brady to throw the ball 11 times to Gordon in the Titans game.
I do think that was a game plan. They liked that matchup. There was a one-on-one matchup with Adoree Jackson. They thought Gordon could win, and he didn't. That was a game plan.
Look, the guy missed OTAs. The guy's 41. And why can't we just say he had a bad year? 15% off of his level is not a bad year. He's just had a bad year. It doesn't mean he's not great. It's just he just had a bad year.
Okay, so bad. He has not had a bad year.
He's not had a bad
year. Well, by his standards, he had a subpar year.
I mean, I think he's been good, not great.
He's been okay. I mean, he's been good. Small g good. He's been good. Not great.
I mean, the numbers are better than they were in 2013 when they were sort of ready to usher him out the door.
But what's the rest relative to the rest of the league, Chris? I mean, this was a passing year. Everyone threw, you know, so like.
See, that's my point again. And I don't care what the actual numbers are. I care what the ranking is. And I just use quarterback rating because it's an easy, all-encompassing one. 12th. 12th. That means 11 guys played the position better than him this year.
But who were some of those guys? The quarterback rating's deceiving. Like,
okay, Chris,
run down the list of some of those. Would you rather have
don't change your argument.
I'm saying Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins had higher quarterback ratings than him. Do you think they're better quarterbacks than him?
No, of course not.
Okay,
but I said very loosely. I said very loosely using quarterback rating as a loose metric. That's what I said.
Well, if you have Kirk Cousins in the class with Tom Brady, that's about as loose as it gets.
Well, Chris. I wouldn't take any of these guys over Tom Brady, but can you say that Phillip Rivers had a better year or
yes.
Drew Brees had a better
year? Yes, absolutely. Well, those guys, sure.
Okay, but when you start talking about
12th, now we're mixing in the Matt Ryans and the Kirk Cousins. Like, you don't get to 12th if you're not counting, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan. So if you're saying, like, oh, you know, he was like the eighth best quarterback in the league, like, that's different. That's still top 10.
So give you eighth. Okay. He's usually first or second.
Yeah, sure.
He's usually first or second. That's a drop.
Yes, I don't deny there's been a drop-off in play. I just don't think it's as acute as people are making it out to be.
Okay,
that's just my opinion.
So again, I'll forget that I ever said the quarterback rating. Jimmy, erase that from the discussion. He hasn't been the same guy this year. He hasn't.
Chris and Nashua, what are your thoughts? Chris and Nashua on the Patriots offense.
Hey, how you doing? The only thing that I was wondering is what your guys thought on this was, I kind of like the Pats offense better without Gordon. Now, if he had been with the team all season and maybe came back next year, I think you would have been a lot more productive. But I feel like there was a lot of balls thrown and forced into him when he would have went to his more reliable receivers with Edelman, Hogan specifically, and would have even gotten maybe Gronk, even though he seems to be off a little bit, to be into it a little bit more.
So let me just stop you there. You know, the thing is, he's still under contract, isn't he? They haven't released him. Does he have another year left on the deal?
Yeah, he does.
I think he's still on the Patriots, folks. I mean...
I think he was like an exclusive rights free agent, right?
I mean, I don't even know what I was under the impression they still have
an RFA.
They either his contract has another year to go, or he has restricted rights or something. I think he's still here, but either way, I agree with that. I think Gordon, you know, helped you, but there was still like the Titans game. It was like a bad habit kind of game. It forced him to a guy down the field, bailout throws to him. The short stuff that they started to go to, was that the last game going into the bye? Right, the Titans game was, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Then they come out of the bye, and they don't throw to him over the top hardly at all. Like, that I liked. I liked the Gordon roll coming out of the bye where it was slants and, you know, running patterns and things underneath. And that being gone, it, you know, has hurt them. But I think Dorsett should be able to do some of that stuff. I really do.
You know, Dorsett, you know, I was unfair to him earlier. I was just trying to make my point. I mean, he's not a stiff. The one thing with Dorsett is just there's not, for a guy with, like, 4.3 speed, he's not really a field stretcher. He's basically a possession receiver, and he doesn't get a lot of yards after the catch. So now you're sort of back to a situation where you have to string more plays together when you're using a guy like that, because he's not going to catch it like Gordon would and break tackles.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
He's not going to go, well, because you have to be able to execute at a high level consistently.
I thought we did that.
Well, this year with this passing attack, I think they could use a little more chunk yardage. It's harder for them with Gronkowski diminished to have a 13-play drive.
What happened about Brady tactically, you know, maneuvering the ball down the field with short intermediate stuff and going 7 of 9 on a drive? And, like, that's what I thought they did. I thought that was their bread and butter.
Well, they haven't done it as well this year.
Okay.
I don't think that they have.
They haven't? Or he hasn't?
Both. Pat, that's both are true.
Pat in Florida, what do you got for us on the Pats?
Hey, I just wanted to call. I know you guys are talking about Stephen Gilmore. I think he's had a tremendous season. One of the stats that's why he's an All-Pro, but one of the stats I read was when they've thrown in his direction, they've only completed 47% of the passes towards him. You know, he's been the best. I think he's been the best defensive player on the team.
They've only completed 47%. So I was going to say
he hasn't been the best defensive player on the team either.
And I think Trey Flowers has been the best defensive player. I would agree with that. But Chris, I just don't know the league and where the corners are around the league. Yeah. So I mean, he might be the second best guy. He might be the first best guy. I still don't feel like he's the shutdown corner that eliminates half the field. Mavs read a stat to me that tells me something. That
passes defended top two in the league were Fuller, the Bears, and Gilmore, and they were the all pros.
So what did the guys that vote on this just look at the pass defended stat? Because I would tell you that when a corner is at his best, he has no stats.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No one throws on him. I remember Revis would have years where he had no stats because he took away half the field.
Same with Richard Sherman.
Revis Island, right? Like you would get these things where there would just be no stats because they got no one. And I feel like Gilmore gets thrown on, and he makes a play sometimes.
But I think he's had a great year, though.
I mean, he's had a very good year. Is he? Well, I mean, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's had a great year. He's clearly a number one corner. I mean, I would compare sort of the year he's had this year. I know he doesn't have the interception numbers, but to sort of like an Asante Samuel 06-07
okay,
type year.
Fine.
Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. Fine. Fair enough. But I didn't think Asante Samuel was.
Yeah, I know you never thought he was that good.
I liked him. I didn't love him. I didn't think he was all pro.
I think it was a down year for corners.
Yeah, I think that's good, too.
Jalen Ramsey had a bad year. Every quarterback in the league's whipping the ball all over the place. I mean, usually there is that, you know, there are one or two corners in the league that you look at and you say, that guy's just ridiculously good. I didn't feel that way about any of them this year.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts after Murray's update. Gasper on the sticks right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Gasper, let me get your temperature on the Celtics. Where are we with them?
Look, good win against Minnesota, but overall, obviously disappointing to be the 5 seed at this point in the year. You see Indiana's won 5 in a row. You see the way the Sixers are playing. I think that clearly the two best teams in the East right now are Milwaukee and Toronto, and then it's their step down there. And the Celtics are part of that step down, which is surprising. They still haven't put it all together. What's the record? What are they, 3-2 or 4-2 since the team meeting?
Yeah, right, 3-2. Well, now I'm 4-2 since the team meeting, right.
They're just not putting it all together, which is disappointing. I did think the Minnesota game, though, was encouraging, not just because Hayward scored the 35 points. It was the way he scored the points. He scored the points, to me, within the framework of the offense and what they need out of him. And I've been saying this for a while now. He needs to be sort of the Ray Allen for this team, which means, hey, like when Ray came here, Ray was a great player. He was used to having the ball in his hands. He could do a million things. But they literally said, like, we need you to shoot spot up three-pointers. We'll have you come off some screens and shoot as well. We need you to make hard cuts to the basket. We need you to do that stuff. You're not going to have the ball as much. That's what I saw from Hayward in that game. He got out on the break, which was good. He made some nice cuts to the basket. The first basket he made was a nice spot-up three-pointer off a beautiful setup from Marcus Smart. That's what he needs to do in this offense. He's not going to be the same Gordon Hayward in terms of usage that he was in Utah. He needs to adjust to that. I think that will help him, and it will help the Celtics. And I'm curious if he can carry it forward off what he did against Minnesota, because the last time he had the great game, it didn't carry forward at all the way that he played after that performance, the 30-point performance in Minnesota.
What's been their biggest problem?
I think the biggest problem has been that it's great to have depth, but depth doesn't mean anything if the guys you have on your team can't accept their roles or excel in their roles. And to me, that's the biggest problem. They have a lot of depth where it's like, okay, you know, break glass in case of emergency. But other than that, like if you look at Terry Rozier, he's shooting under 40% from the field this year. So you look at the roster and you say, okay, we have Terry Rozier as a backup pointer. That's great. This guy should be a starter in the league. You're right. But if you just took player X and said, here's your backup point guard, he's going to shoot 40% from the field. And I forget where Terry's shooting from three.
It's higher than you think. It's like I looked it up yesterday. It's about 37.5%.
If that's what he's going to do, then it's not great. Jaylen Brown, I know, he's shooting 28.8% from three, which is below Marcus Smart. So again, we have Jaylen Brown, up-and-coming player, good young player, part of our depth. Okay, that's good, but if he's going to shoot 28% from three, I just think a lot of these guys have had a hard time adjusting to diminished roles and diminished playing time and being productive within the framework of the team.
Who do you blame for that? The individual?
I blame the players, you know, first of all, because you have to be able to accept your role. And then I think second of all, I would blame, you know, Danny Ainge for not seeing this, because you could have theoretically sold high on some of these guys like Rozier. And then third, I'd say Brad, because Brad's, but I think Brad has the toughest job, which is basically to convince guys to look at it and say, oh, it doesn't matter that you're young and you're still trying to establish yourself in the NBA and make a name for yourself. It's just about this. It's just about the winning. I think Brad has the hardest job, which is to get guys to buy in.
Where's the point of no return? Meaning, when do you write him off for this year?
Oh, point of no return? It's like May. I mean, they have to be in the playoffs. Yeah.
No. Wait,
what do you mean by point of, like, they can't get to the finals?
Can they get to the finals as a 5 seed, which is where they are right now?
As a 5? Well, they won't be a 5 seed.
Are you sure of that?
Yeah. What if they're a 4?
Okay, no.
They could be a 4.
So, hold on. If they're a 5 seed, okay, so you're saying they're going to catch Philly. I mean, they're only 2 games behind or whatever.
And plus, they own Philly. That's a good matchup for them.
Even if it's on the road?
Even if it's, did it make it? I don't think it makes a difference. Like
The game I saw on Christmas sure did. If that game's in Philly, I don't think you pull that game out.
I think Philly, even Embiid has said, like, this isn't a rivalry. Like, they keep beating us.
No.
You're in Philly's head.
Chris, you've gotten worse from last year. You're not the same team you were last year.
I agree, but I don't think Philly, it matters to Philly. Like, they just feel like they can't beat them. And it's a good matchup for the Celtics because Simmons won't shoot outside shots.
I don't think it matters. Okay, if you want to know the truth.
So either way, 4 or 5 seed, can they make the finals? Either 3 rounds on the road or 2 rounds on the road?
Yes. I think they can make it.
You do?
I don't think they will, but can they? Yes. I think it's possible.
Okay, so you don't think they will?
Because if they reach their potential, it's not going to matter where the games are played.
Oh, yeah, it will. It does. Chris, it's the NBA playoffs. Look at where the home teams win at 80%.
I know, but okay, like, but, and I'm not saying, and I know this is going to get shot down immediately, but I feel like we had a lot of these same discussions, and I know it's different, but like the 2010 Celtics, who went 27-27 and then got into the playoffs and turned it on. So if you can reach your potential, like, I think they could do it.
But it was a veteran team that had won before.
Shoot it down.
It was a veteran team that had won before. They understood. They had some knowledge how to win on the road and those sorts of things. This team doesn't. So that's a big thing. Honestly, if they're the number 4 seed, they're not going to the finals. I'm not sure they get by Indiana.
Okay, but you're totally, and I agree with you, and I knew you'd shoot it down that way. But again, it's not like this is a team that has, like, no playoff experience. They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They have guys that know what it takes to make a deep run, and Kyrie's won a championship. So, again, it's not like you have guys that have never won a round of the playoffs. They know how to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So once you get there...
Yeah, you know, yeah. I've heard a lot...
The Indiana Pacers had guys that knew how to make a run, too, and Roy Hibbert. Like, you know, guys like that. And that never got them anywhere. It doesn't matter if you know how to make a run. You have to be able to close the deal in that league.
It stuns me, though. How many NBA guys, smart NBA guys like yourself, say, seedings doesn't matter. Regular
I'm not saying it doesn't matter. You're asking me about a specific team in a specific year.
And then we get
Boston
to the playoffs.
Celtics, and I'm telling you.
And then we get to the playoffs, and it's the 1 versus the 4, and the 1 wins. And it's the 2 versus the 3, and the 2 wins. And it's the 2 versus the 7, and the 2 wins. And every single round, the higher seed home teams advances. I say, like, well, why don't we pay attention to the regular season, who finished where? Because that seems to be how the playoffs go. It's not hockey or baseball where everyone wins from all over the place. Higher seed home team wins. So it's like, I don't know. I'm a simpleton. I start there. I think it matters to this team. They haven't won squat on the road under Brad Stevens. A one-off win here or there, but they've never won a playoff series where they were the lower seed. They've never done it. They've needed home court every step of the way.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you there, but you're asking me about my belief in a specific team in a specific year, not the entire NBA and the history. You're right. It means more in the NBA than any other sport. But this particular team with the talent level that they have, if they can tap into it, I think could be an outlier. It's that simple for me. Okay. I think they're capable of being an outlier.
We have movement among green teamers out there listening to Chris Gasper. You've made it move. You've made it move for little green teamers everywhere, Chris. Thanks for that. We appreciate it. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
103-92, Celtics by 11, 4:39 to go. Hayward, pull up on Gibson, 3 more.
Ooh.
Man.
Celtics needed a hero tonight, and Gordon Hayward, from out of the phone booth, became Gordon Hayward again. 33 off the Boston bench. Celtics by 14.
All right, there's your Gordon highlight. Wrap it up with Gasper here and your phone calls. We don't wrap it up. We're here for another hour. Gasper's got one more segment. Right back to the calls, as promised. Jay on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Jay, on the Patriots. What do you got?
Well, thanks to your show, we're finally accepting that Brady's wearing out. He's still good. He's not great anymore. And other than kissing up to Felger's theory of more work, why does your guest think Brady will have a good year next year?
So, see, I disagree. I'm just going to jump in before my guest speaks. Yeah. I don't agree that Brady's done. I just think he had an off year for whatever reason, which we can debate. But I don't think he's done at all. I mean, I thought he was done at 37, and so I was wrong about that. So I'm done with that. He's proved he can play at a high level at an old age. I don't think he's done. I think he had an off year. But I don't know. Chris, you want to respond?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think he had an off year. I also think they didn't surround him with the proper weapons. And we've seen this before. We saw this in 2013. You know, the numbers were down. They thought he was done because he didn't have the proper weapons. What's the difference really between 40 and 41 and 42 if you're him and you're doing, like, I don't look at him and think this is somebody who's in a decline that he's not going to be able to get out of. I just don't. He was the MVP of the league at age 40. This year, he hasn't been as good. Like, I just think it blows my mind that we go from he's the MVP to he's having a terrible year. Like, there's nothing in between. You're either the MVP of the league or you stink.
No, he had an off year. And no one said he has a terrible. I don't think anyone said he's terrible.
You know what's odd, though, is you say, like 2013, he didn't have the weapons. They had players. They had Cooks. They had Amendola. They let them all go. And I say let them all, but you know what I mean. That they and I understand there's some injury in there too, but it's almost like, I don't know, it's almost like they said, okay, Tom, you're the guy. Let's see you carry the team like you have in the past.
I mean, in 2013, everyone, the first two passes were to Matthew Mulligan and Matt Slater, right?
Yes, yeah.
Wasn't Edelman active for that game? Wasn't Edelman and Amendola on the field?
Well, first of all, Amendola wasn't that good that year. I think he was targeted once in that game.
Like, as soon as Brady sucks, all of a sudden everyone else sucks.
Well, Amendola had like a torn groin the whole year or something like that.
But I mean, but that's what I'm hearing. It's like, well,
they also threw. Go look up how many passes were targeted to Austin Colley in that game.
Yeah. So, but maybe that was Brady's fault. I mean, maybe Edelman and Amendola were open somewhere else, and Brady was
probably.
Going with the
I don't know. They won the Super Bowl the next year. It was all his fault. 13.
Oh my gosh, what a martyr complex you got
no,
with this.
No, Chris
player.
Is right on
Seriously,
this too.
Though,
so,
my gosh.
If they needed to get him more weapons, maybe draft someone like Calvin Ridley, who ended up with 10 touchdowns this year, rather than the fat kid from Georgia who got hurt.
He's now officially the fat kid from Georgia. Here's Pat in Portsmouth on the Patriots. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. First time caller, huge listener. I just want to see who you guys think the Pats match up with best in the playoffs. I know we can't play the Colts, and I know as good as the Ravens look right now, as good as their defense looks, rookie quarterbacks just don't come to Foxborough and win, especially in the month of January.
Okay, Chris, break down this weekend and what's coming up and what do you expect to see and what do you want to see?
From a Patriots standpoint, I think Houston's probably the best matchup. Deshaun Watson's really good, and he's going to be a different quarterback than the one you beat in the opener. But as Phil Perry's pointed out, that offensive line is not very good, and I think that Demaryius Thomas injury was huge for them because now they're back to being what they've been before when they played the Patriots, which is DeAndre Hopkins and not much else, and Belichick will take Hopkins away, and I just can't see the Patriots losing to Vincent with a Y Smith. I don't think that's happening. Kiki Cutie is a good rookie, but he hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Is the Y in Vincent or Smith?
Vincent.
It's in Vincent.
Really?
Yeah, V-Y.
Yeah.
Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, so I just don't think there's enough weapons there for Watson. He doesn't have enough help. The Chargers are the team that scares me the most because if they ever put it all together, I mean, top 10 defense, top 10 offense. They have a good secondary. Desmond King and Casey Hayward, Derwin James, who was an all-pro, is a rookie. They can get after the passer. And they have three good wide receivers. So it's, the Patriots will say, okay, we're going to take away Keenan Allen. Well, Mike Williams had 10 touchdown receptions this year for the Chargers, and they still have Tyrell Williams, who averages like 18 yards a catch. And they're getting Hunter Henry back with Antonio Gates. And they have Melvin Gordon and Aaron Eckler. They have, I'm telling you, the Chargers, if Belichick were coaching the Chargers, they would be like the easy favorite in the AFC.
The Chargers,
are loaded.
The only thing, and you said it earlier, I think, the only thing that gives me pause is that they're the Chargers.
I know.
But, I mean, yeah. I even think Philip Rivers is due. Like, this is a guy, every dog has his day, that sort of thing. Like, I think he's sort of in that spot right now. I respect the Chargers.
The other thing I'll say quickly on the Chargers, and maybe this is a stretch, but again, they came here last year, and they just, the mistakes they made, I mean, it was football malpractice. I think they would come in here based off that game last year and say, you know what, we could have won that game last year if we're not stepping out of bounds on touchdowns or running into our own end zone on safeties.
Is that the one where the guy with the punt?
Oh, yes!
Yeah, the punt.
Oh, that jackass. I remember
backwards,
that.
Backwards like 20 yards.
Yeah.
What happened?
They all, Travis Benjamin, he ran into his own end zone like the punt return. It was
what
a safety.
Moron.
They also had a touchdown that got negated on what was a highly questionable, like Walt Coleman, thanks for the 30 years-esque type of pass interference against the Chargers.
This is something we haven't had much today. Andrew in Medford has something on Josh McDaniels here on Agenda Free Friday, which again is now sponsored by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. Go ahead, Andrew. What do you got on Josh McDaniels?
Hey, guys. Just a couple of quick questions. I think it's been said on this show, and I agree with you, that if there's something you can point to about the Patriots that led them to where they are this season, it's probably being coached up pretty well. So I'm wondering if good coaching has bumped up McDaniel's stock at all for this upcoming season. And I also wanted to pitch you guys a hypothetical. Is there, I know everybody wants to talk about how good the coaching jobs that are coming up are. Is there a coaching job opening up this season that is better than the Colts job last year? Because the Colts job.
Let me stop you. Is the Packer or Browns job better than the Colts job last year?
I think the Browns job is. I think the Browns job. I mean, it looks like Pittsburgh is in flames. There's some dysfunction there. Baltimore, we'll see what happens with that, with their situation with Harbaugh.
So you're saying Cleveland's going to have a nice division.
Yeah. Cincinnati is a wreck. So I think the divisional setup is pretty nice there. Whereas you look at the AFC South, right? So Deshaun Watson's, you know, in that division. Whatever you think of Mariota, I mean, if you like him, you know, that's another one there for you. I like what the Browns have going on. They have a ton of talent. Denzel Ward was really good this year, a cornerback for them. I like Nick Chubb on the other side of the ball. Mayfield, I'm not a fan of him as a person. I think he's kind of a punk, but he can play. So I think that's the best job out there.
Okay. Another point that he made. In 2018 alone, we're not arguing the 18 years, but in 2018, this season, who's been more important to the Patriots? Who's been more responsible for their success, Belichick or Brady?
Oh, it's tough. I'm going Bedard on you here now.
Like, oh my God,
so Belichick.
Consult your
come on,
clipboard. Hemming and Haw.
It's Belichick. It's Belichick.
Thank you.
It's
okay. Belichick. Thank you. Yeah. We don't need to discuss anymore. Assess the Josh McDaniels situation. Do you think he's gone? What's the spot?
He wants that. It was interesting. There was a story in the Canton Repository, which is the paper that covered him when he played high school football out there. I think it's a total plan. He wants in on the Browns thing. He wants in on that job. Now, I don't know. He might already be in. Maybe John Dorsey is somebody who's going to try and sort of clandestinely hire him. But I think that's him stumping for that job. And he's done that before. He stumped for the Ohio State job a couple of years ago. I think that's the job that he really wants. And I think he's smart. Because I think if you go to Green Bay, it's Aaron Rodgers' show. You win there. People are like, well, you had Aaron Rodgers. You don't win. It's like you couldn't win with Aaron Rodgers. You'll never get another head coaching job. He has to make this one count. He loved Mayfield last year. He was pushing the Patriots to try and move up and get him. Mayfield's his guy. Okay. That's a plum gig.
Do you think if Josh gets the Browns job or the Packers job that he takes it and is gone this year? And does that say to what's going on in Foxborough? That, you know, there's again, they've smoothed out some problems and Belichick and Brady aren't going anywhere.
I would be more along the lines of if he takes, like, the Packers job, I think that maybe tells you more about what's up in Foxborough. I think this Browns job is a great job for him. And he'd be interested in it regardless.
All right. What, Maz? You're smirking.
No, I think he's going to Cleveland. I think his old man leaked the story to the guy at the Canton Times or whatever the hell the name of it.
Repository?
Repository.
Yeah. Canton Repository.
That is one weird name for a newspaper, the man. Canton, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, the Canton Repository.
Exactly. I knew you were going to say it. I knew it. I knew that was coming.
Because Maz is really 7 years old.
Pure humor. You can always count on Maz for that.
All right, Casper.
Get it right. I'm six.
Again, so what's happening this weekend? And we're going to see who? Next weekend?
Oh, you want, like, predictions?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I think you're going to see the Chargers. I think they're going to beat the Ravens. I think the Colts...
No, but so you think the Colts are going to walk into Houston?
Yeah, I think the Colts are going to take... I think the Colts are going to town the Texans.
Okay, there you go. Gasper, thanks for the stint.
Good to see you guys.
We'll see you next week.
Chris.
It's always a pleasure. We have an hour to go on an agenda-free Friday. We get right back to your phones. I promise we're after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.